air and naval forces of the United States.
Homeland.
Ryan Am Flight 103 crashed into the town of...
Claire Danes, Damian Lewis, Morena Baccarin.
This will not stand this aggression against...
David Harewood, Diego Klattenhoff, Jamie Sheridan. David Marciano, Naveed Nagahban, Jackson Pace, Morgan Saylor, and Mandy Patinkin. Grainy black and white images of the World Trade Center burning.
Thousands of people running.
We must and we will remain vigilant.
A sign for the George Bush Center for Intelligence.
What the fuck are you doing?
I missed something once before. I can't.
It was 10 years ago.
Everyone missed something that day.
Everyone's not me.
Carrie listens on headphones. Brody looks out at Capitol Hill. A helicopter flies overhead.
Previously on Homeland.
I've never heard of this guy.
Oh, Quinn?
Just check him out, please.
Okay. Something has to be part of an attack on this country. I'm through.
Brody just blew it up. The whole operation's dead.
As long as his cover isn't blown, he's still in play.
Brody, give me the keys. I'm trying to keep you from spending the rest of your life in a cage. This deal of ours, I think it's a way out for both of us.
Carrie kisses Brody. Later, he's on a call to Roya.
Yes.
I want to explain.
I'm glad you feel that way. Turn around. We're leaving.
She knows.
Tighten up the follow vehicles now. We cannot afford to lose him.
You say you want another chance. This is it?
They just grabbed him.
They're loading into an helicopter.
We're losing him! Quinn! They're gone! They're gone! They're just gone!
A helicopter flies into the night. Daytime and carries with Saul in the surveillance room.
Go ahead, say it.
Saul stays quiet. Peter.
It's 12 hours since we lost Brody.
8 since Roy Hamad got back from wherever they flew him to.
No comment or SIGINT pings about any of this at Langley either. Terrorist chatter across all hot zones virtually non-existent right now.
Carrie flashes an exasperated look at Peter while David's deep in thought.
Okay, I'll say it. He's dead.
We don't know that for sure, Carrie.
If not physically dead, operationally dead. And time's ticking away, we have to talk about moving on.
The only move we have is to roll up Roy Hamad.
Les Brody's not dead and is somehow still in play with the terrorists, in which case Liftinger burns him. His death sentence.
That's a lot of ifs and maybes.
Agreed. Just putting all the cards on the table here.
We've got to bring Roya in.
Carrie nods in agreement while David straightens up.
Let's do it. Mike, can you do it?
As David walks away, Saul goes over to Carrie.
Don't, Saul. I'm okay.
Saul turns away from Carrie, leaving her to mull over the seriousness of the situation. A metallic silver car pulls into the yard of a large unused factory complex. Pieces of scrap lie around. A 4x4 with blacked out windows is already in the yard. Nazir gets out of the silver car, then opens the door for Brody to exit. In a blue shirt, Brody looks around warily, then the car drives over by the 4x4.
This is where we say goodbye, Nicholas. Forever, if all goes well. You know I cannot do this without you.
Yeah.
You have Allah's trust, and therefore mine. Allah knows more than anyone can how strong you are.
Pray for me.
And you for me.
They embrace.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Nazir drops his hands, then takes a flat cap from his coat pocket. Staring steadily at Brody, he puts the cap on and gets into the back of the 4x4. As if hyperventilating, Brody watches as the black vehicle manoeuvres, then drives through puddles on its way out of the yard. Looking drawn, Brody's left to throw anxious glances around his rundown surroundings. Having taken stock of his location, Brody walks off at pace, following the route the 4x4 took. Breaking into a run, Brody's soon on a rain-soaked street where he rushes into a shop.
Hey, do you have a payphone I could use?
Wait, do I know you from somewhere?
No, I don't think so.
A payphone? Not since last century.
Oh, do you have a cell phone I could borrow?
Sighing, Carrie answers her phone.
Hello.
Hey, it's me.
Jesus, where have you been?
Carrie, I need you to go get my family right away. Okay, and take them somewhere safe.
We've been going out of our minds.
I don't care where. I don't care what it takes. Can you please, please do that for me right now?
Yes. Where are you? What's been going on?
I'll call you back in an hour. Once it's done.
Well?
Leroy and Play, cancel the lift.
Whoa. This man has been off the radar the past 12 hours in the company of known terrorists.
We need to be extremely fucking vigilant here.
Carrie?
He asked me to move his family somewhere safe.
He's alive, asking us to protect his family. That's a check mark on the plus column.
Carrie's right. Stand down the lift team on Roy Hamad.
What number is Brody calling from?
443 area code, a Baltimore cell.
Run that number.
He said he'd call back in an hour once the family's safe.
If there's a threat to them, what happens next has to look like just another day in the burbs.
Yeah, no CIA footprint anywhere near that neighborhood. Whoever we send in has to be somebody the Brody family knows and trusts.
Peter nods, then stalks off.
Shit.
Jessica goes to her door.
I'm coming. Mike.
Jess, don't panic. Please just listen. As I say, everything's fine, but...
Is it Brody? Is he all right?
No.
I haven't seen or heard from him in 2 days.
The CIA sent me, Jess. There's a threat.
A threat? What threat? To us?
No, it's to do with something Brody's working on with the CIA, or else it'd be him standing here.
You mean like a terrorist threat?
That's not specific. This is just a precaution. So, no school for you guys today. You're gonna come with me.
We're coming with you where?
Somewhere safe.
Go get your brother. Hurry!
This is bullshit.
As Dana walks away to her room, Mike hurries after her.
My dad wants to move us. He can come here and explain it himself.
It's not your dad, Dana. It's the CIA. They were the ones who called me.
Trust me, it's my dad. Everything that goes wrong right now is my fucking dad. So get out of my room, my
kid. Hey, you don't talk to me like that. I'm here to help, and you damn well know it. I'm not asking, and nor is the CIA. So get your shit together, because it's happening, and it's happening now, even if I have to carry you out of here, kicking and screaming.
Dana nods as a look of realization crosses her face. Presently, Carrie watches as Jessica and Dana leave with Mike, then her phone vibrates.
Hello?
Are they safe yet?
Yes.
Where?
Can't discuss that in an open line.
Remember where we first met, and I don't mean your office.
In the rain?
I'll see you there in 30.
Under clear skies, Brody hangs up a payphone, then strides away. Virgil keeps watch on a landing while Max works on a door lock. Max stops Virgil as he goes to turn the knob, then takes a photograph of the closed door seam.
Let's go, man, let's go.
Virgil follows Max into the flat as a woman wearing headphones comes upstairs. Inside, Virgil closes the door as Max scans the open plan property. Hearing a jangling noise, Virgil goes to the spy hole, while Max takes a picture of the window. He also snaps a single bed beside an uplighter before heading into the bathroom where a toilet bag's sitting on the sink. Unzipping a black leather pouch, Max photographs the contents of a coiled cable, then closes it again. Virgil looks anxiously at the door, while Max picks up a paperback copy of Great Expectations, then flicks through the pages with his gloves on. Finding a picture of a mother with a newborn in her arms, Max takes a photo. Virgil leaves, then Max follows him out, stopping to adjust the lock, in the surveillance van with Saul.
Point is, until today, this look into Quinn that you and Carrie asked us to do was feeling like a big fucking jerk-off. Everywhere we looked, he checked out.
Till today? What happened today?
We tracked down where he lives, took a peek into his apartment.
Shit, Virgil. Told you to check him out, not break into his apartment.
Show him, Max.
Anti-intrusion devices everywhere. Man lives like he's ready to bounce at a moment's notice.
A photo shows coins balanced on a window latch.
That's it? A CIA analyst is a security fob? His personal life's a little wanting.
The field officer's one thing, Saul, but I've never met an analyst that lives like this.
Do you know what that is? It's a rifle cleaning kit. That pull-through cable tells me that it's a rifle with a long-ass barrel.
A sniper rifle.
Anything else?
One personal item. We found it tucked away in the only book that he has. Her name's Julia Diaz. Easy to trace because she's law enforcement. Philadelphia PD.
Find out what precinct she's in and get me the address.
Virgil nods, then Saul looks at Julia's photo. House.
Whoa, this is sick.
You're stocked up on groceries and some half-decent wine. If you need anything else, pick up that phone, hit 1-1. We're in the apartments on either side.
Is there anything else you can tell me about this threat?
All I know is that your husband is working with the CIA on it. It's standard procedure for us to move the families of any high-profile people who are working on operations like this to safe houses.
Is there a specific threat to me and my children?
Not that we know of, no. But we don't take chances. This is the most secure place that you can be.
Okay, Jess?
There's TV in every room.
Every room? No way.
Yeah, they're all big screens, too.
Jessica looks more at ease as Mike goes over to Chris. Driving along, Carrie's surprised when Brody jumps into her car.
Hey.
Where have you been, Brody?
Where's my family?
Here in D.C. Safe. You have my word.
Thank you.
Of course.
I thought I was dead, Carrie.
She looks emotional.
It's really good to see you.
He fixes her with a loving look, then she holds her hand out, which she takes.
Where did they take you on that helicopter?
I don't know. 45 minutes. Very fast, very low. West. And dark, away from any signs of civilization.
We have to hone in on all of the details now. Every little thing.
I'm just taking to see Eben is here.
What?
He's here. Carrie, he's here. He's in America. And he's planning an attack.
Wait. Abu Nazir? How is that even possible? Jesus Christ!
So they wire you to the car battery. What do you do?
I told him to kill me now. Because whatever reason Nazir has to torture me again is... Fuck him. After all I've been through, fuck him.
You dared him to kill you right off the bat?
Yeah.
Peter follows up on Saul.
Then what happens?
They leave me there. They don't turn on the battery. I just sit there for a couple hours, three maybe, I don't know, sweating it out. And finally the door opens and Nazir walks through with tea.
Tea?
Yeah, the threat of torture was a test. And I think this was too.
You have become unsure of your commitment to our mission.
Our mission? I don't know anything about a mission. I did exactly what was asked of me, nothing more, nothing less.
You saved my life in Beirut. No one asked you to do that.
Brody stares.
What is it, Nicholas? What is troubling you?
I wanted to avenge ISIS's death, not kill innocent civilians.
What if it's the will of Allah?
Neither of us know the will of Allah. You taught me that yourself. Each of us must decide what we can or cannot do.
So now you must decide. What is your will, Nicholas?
I tell him my will is close to breaking.
Did he ask about your recent specific wavering with Roy Ahmad?
Yes.
And?
I told him I'd underestimated the love I have for my family. And the fear for what would become of my wife and kids after I was gone had blindsided me.
How did Nazir react to your concern about your family?
In flashback, Nazir looks troubled as he sits opposite Brody.
Your wife and children have nothing to fear if you stay true to yourself.
Clear threat.
Did he ask you anything else?
No.
Did he say how he got into the country?
No.
Can you stay with the wife?
My choice was simple. Run, hide, and wait for death like a cowering animal, like Bin Laden. Or die taking the fight to the enemy.
And the specifics of this fight are?
Tomorrow afternoon, the Vice President and I are scheduled to greet the Special Operations Group returning from Afghanistan.
At Damneck Naval Base.
300 soldiers to be reunited with their families. Nazir plans to hit the homecoming.
How the hell's he gonna do that? It's a lockdown classified event.
All I know is what he told me. He said he can't do it without me. He said I'm essential to his plan.
And your essential part in this attack is what?
Convince the Vice President to allow one reporter to cover the event.
Saul nods.
Roy Ahmad.
Yes.
Is there anything else?
Hello, where you are.
In flashback, Brody and Nazir pray.
No. That's it.
David grabs a recorder off the desk.
Wait here, please. Let's go.
Brody watches calmly as Carrie leaves the dimly lit room to join her colleagues in a stairwell.
Thoughts? Peter?
I don't know. It all feels too easy. He could be lying. Nazir could be playing him to misdirect us, lead us into a trap.
So?
It's possible. By his own admission, Brody's in a confused state and spent 12 hours in the company of a man who has considerable power over him.
What do you think, Carrie?
I think the symbolism of murdering 300 American soldiers in front of their wives and children is quintessential, Nazir. It's an idea worthy of him. Elite troops just back from killing Muslims on the battlefield just when they think they're out of harm's way.
So, with that in mind, if Nazir is planning to use Roy Ahmad to breach the base, what are we looking at?
Well, there's that trunk of explosives they pulled out of the tailor's shop in Gettysburg.
Lucas, that'd be as simple as replacing our news crew with terrorists and launching a Mumbai-style attack.
Yeah, or a combination of the two.
Bottom line is, we can't not follow up on this, David. Nazir is in our sights. We have to play this out.
Carrie makes her way back to the interview room where Brody leans against a pillar. Brody eyes her.
They don't believe me.
In 90 minutes, the Vice President will be in your office, at which point David Estes will brief the two of you on these latest developments. He'll protect your deeper involvement, of course, and you'll do your best to look surprised.
Nodding.
Do you believe me?
As Brody steps towards her, she nods.
I do.
Because that's all I care about right now.
Carrie sighs with a look of longing while Saul and Peter are watching on CCTV in the surveillance room.
Different phone, same number.
Saul looks to Peter.
Think you're the only one who understands this fucker needs watching like a hawk.
How about Carrie? Do you understand that too?
Wanna call your family?
No. I'll just have to lie to Jessica again. You're in good hands, all right?
Sure.
And tomorrow all of this will be over.
Right.
What's that look?
I thought it would be easier for them if they were with someone they knew.
Let me guess, Mike Faber. Your call?
My call.
They lock eyes.
Smart.
I thought so.
Day in the safe house, and Chris is playing cards with Jessica.
Is Dad in the CIA, you know? Is he gonna have to leave again?
I don't think so. All we know is that he's helping them with something for now. It'll be finished soon.
They playing?
You know what, honey? Can you do me a favor? Go set the table for dinner while we wait. Go on.
A reluctant Chris goes. Mike's with Dana.
I understand you're angry, Dana.
I'm not angry at you.
In general, then. Hey, I'm mad at Brody too, Dana. I can only imagine what it's like for you.
Dana gathers her thoughts.
You know, sometimes I really just wish he had never come back from that stupid war.
Don't say that.
I mean, ever since he's gotten back, everything has gone to shit, and it just keeps getting worse.
We all come back from that war with some kind of wound.
Something occurs to Dana as she catches sight of Jessica.
Did you?
Sure. For 8 years, I thought I lost my best friend. It's like I left him behind back there.
Table set, Mom.
Mike and Jessica share a solemn look. Vice President Warden strides down a corridor with security in tow, nods to a woman on the door, then enters his office.
David?
Sir?
Nick?
Sir?
A little unorthodox. Mr. Vice President, we have a situation that concerns both you and the congressman and not a lot of time. A few hours ago, we received intelligence from two separate sources in Beirut that Abu Nazir's terrorist network is planning to attack the Special Operations Group Homecoming at Dam Dag tomorrow.
We've got to divert the transport, cancel the event.
Sir, we believe, with your help, we have an extremely high percentage shot at killing or capturing the terrorist cell and stopping the attack cold.
With my help?
This is right in your wheelhouse, sir.
I'm listening.
It all hangs on the CNB correspondent, Roya Hamad.
I know her. Know her well. She's interviewed me several times.
Sir, we believe she's working with Abu Nazir.
What?
Based on verbal information from the same assets on the ground in Beirut.
Roya Hamad's a terrorist?
We believe, strongly, that not only is Ms. Hamad the delivery mechanism for this attack, whatever form it may take, but that she also intends to film it for broadcast around the world.
Sighing, Walden turns away from the pair.
What do you need from me, David?
Officially allow her the access she's requesting so that we can monitor her movements, catch the entire cell red-handed, and roll them up before the attack can actually happen.
Where's the White House on this?
I'll leave that with you, sir. I'll take care of the director.
What do you think, Nick?
One question, sir. What happens if the plan goes wrong?
If this isn't done and dusted before you leave the residence for that base tomorrow morning, then we divert the troop transport and cancel the event.
Which I assume would blow your entire operation.
Yeah. Sir, there is one more thing.
What?
We have good reason to believe that Abu Nazir is here. In the United States.
How the fuck did that happen?
That can't go further than this room, Mr. Vice President.
Walden gets to his feet and goes to the door.
Get me these terrorists, David.
Yes, sir.
Giving David a no-nonsense look, Walden leaves.
Make the call. Do it now.
Brody gets his mobile out and dials Roya.
Vice President said yes.
How did you manage to convince him?
I told him that if he wants to officially nominate me as his running mate, then there'd be no better time and place to do it than at the naval base in front of the returning troops.
Very clever. Our friend will be pleased.
Good.
Nicholas, when the plane lands at the base, I'll be with my cameraman. You should find a way to be with me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
See you tomorrow.
Saul watches on surveillance as Roy hails a cab.
That's a bomb. She just told him how to stay out of the blast radius.
Stay with the cab. I want all eyes and ears on her until this thing's over. We'll alternate in 6-hour shifts. I'll take the first one.
Well, that leaves me with the doom watch.
Virgil hands a piece of paper to Saul. In his car, Saul punches 7729 West Summit Street, Philadelphia, into his sat-nav, then backs up. Evening, and Dane is with Chris.
Okay, so congruent triangles. Have you ever heard of a no donkey there? Okay, give me the book. We'll look at it.
Jessica joins Mike in the kitchen as he gazes thoughtfully out of the window.
The capital city of the most powerful country in the world.
Yep.
The shit that goes on out there. Thank you for being here.
They clink glasses. Mike takes a drink.
That woman was right. This is only half decent.
So I figured you'd take the guest room.
No, I'm good with the living room couch.
Take the guest room. The kids will come in with me.
Saul's sat-nav has taken him to a police precinct, where an officer approaches.
You call for me, sir?
Officer Diaz.
And you are?
Richard Keller. Good to meet you, officer.
What can I do for you today, Mr. Keller?
Richard, please. Somewhere we could speak in private.
What about?
Your son? Actually, it's more about his father, John Sr.
Who are you? Really?
A business card.
IRS. Come with me.
Saul follows Julia into an interview room.
I haven't seen John since John Jr. was born, so it's 4 years.
Did he send you money? Am I right?
Saul hesitates.
I've upset you.
Julia looks irked.
Sorry.
Saul sits opposite her.
Occupational hazard.
I'm a cop, sir. Not a moron. Or criminal. So, if you're looking to find some tax beef on me, write me a letter. I can go get myself a lawyer, and we could do this right.
Maybe it's not with you that we have a discrepancy. Maybe it's with your husband.
We were never married.
Does he have anything to do with your son?
Does that have anything to do with you?
If you could give me John's last name, for the record.
Sure. I can confirm it for you. Means you go first.
Understood the meaning.
And since we're being all open and honest here, Richard, how does the IRS get that picture of me and my kid?
The photograph recovered from Peter's place sits on the desk. A thought occurs to Julia.
Has something happened to him? What is this all about?
She sits back.
You're not IRS, are you?
Saul presents his Internal Revenue Service ID.
If you'd like to check my credentials, be my guest.
Saul maintains eye contact with Julia in what soon appears like a standoff situation. With a considered look, Saul registers Julia's noncommittal expression, then picks up his fake ID.
Well, I'm sorry to bother you, officer.
Getting up, Saul takes his flat cap and coat, while Julia is steadfastly tight-lipped.
Have a good night.
Julia sighs deeply once he's gone. Next, Saul's on the phone.
You watching him?
He's at a station doing his thing.
John X, a.k.a. Peter Quinn, is about to get a call from the mother of his child.
Peter's mobile vibrates while Virgil observes.
Hello?
Virgil leans forward as Peter listens with growing concern to his call.
What did he look like, this man? No. No, don't worry about it. You did fine.
Virgil shifts in his seat.
I gotta go.
Ending the call, Peter appears on edge. Looking spurred into decisive action, he suddenly gets up from his desk and the row of monitors.
Is Carrie still here?
Yeah.
I gotta go deal with some personal admin bullshit for 30 minutes. Can you cover for me?
Me? Cover for you?
30 minutes, no big deal.
Sure, no problem.
As Peter heads out, Virgil watches from the shadows, and Carrie takes the vacated seat in front of the bank of surveillance screens. Outside, in the streetlight glow, Virgil hurries to his van. Max is in his car.
You got him?
He took a bus. East.
With an earpiece in, Max slows as the single-decker bus eases into a stop. Max watches as passengers alight, then suddenly clocks his objective as he crosses the road.
He's a slippery bastard. He just got off. He ditched his jacket and put on a hat.
Virgil nods. Peter raises his arm.
Now he's getting on another bus.
Peter gets on the Blue Route coach that travels between the YMCA and the library. The bus drives off, then Max crosses the line of traffic to resume his surveillance. In a three-lane carriageway, Max watches as the bus stops at a junction, then steadily catches up with it. Cruising by, Max sees Peter at the window behind another man in a cab.
He's talking to someone.
Virgil thinks. Max quickly snaps the pair in the bus. Nighttime at Brody's place and a light goes on in a room. Opening the fridge, the glow falls on his rugged features as he studies the contents. Next, sitting on the sofa, Brody eats from a bowl of cereal as he watches TV. In the safe house, Dana and Chris are fast asleep, while Jessica lies beside them, wide awake. Looking pensive, she glances over at the children, then returns to her thoughts. Next, Jessica's out of bed and walks through the large lounge area of the open-plan flat. She hesitates, then takes a deep breath before continuing. She heads towards a soft light at the far end of the lounge. The sound of the door rouses Mike. Bare-chested, he props himself up as he gazes at Jessica. Slowly, she removes her nightie to reveal her naked breasts. Going over to the bed, the light catches the curve of her shoulders and neck. About to kiss Mike, she slips her hand under the blanket to his groin. Soon their kisses become deeply sensual and passionate. Mike rolls Jessica onto her back as they kiss hungrily. A wave of ecstasy washes over Jessica as Mike thrusts gently into her. Jessica's fingers stroke his hair as they make love. In the surveillance room, Peter's contemplations disturbed by the bleeps of the security door and Saul's arrival.
Where have you been? You look wasted.
I'm just old. You get there sooner than you think.
Peter stands up from his seat at the bank of monitors, then faces Saul's forensic gaze.
See you at game time.
Peter trudges out under Saul's watchful eye. Then Virgil approaches the veteran.
Max is on him.
So he met some guy on a city bus?
Virgil passes him a file of photos featuring the man in the cap. A look of world-weary recognition from Saul.
You know him?
Daradal.
Daradal? That's Daradal?
That's him. In the flesh. I know him 18 years ago. When he ran company missions, we don't talk about him to Somalia. From Nairobi Station.
If Quinn reports to a guy like Daradal, he's no more an analyst than I'm in the hair club for men. So what's he really doing on this task force?
I don't know.
Saul turns away from Virgil, then takes the seat in front of the bright screens. His expression's one of grave concern. In the grey morning light, resting her head half across Mike's chest, Jessica's eyes snap open. Realising where she is, she throws the covers back, then hurries through to the other bedroom. The children are fast asleep. In the busy surveillance room, as agents pore over maps, Peter brings coffees.
You're early.
You're welcome.
FBI liaison, two operations officers from the special ops group. The rest is in the hymnal.
Carry already in position?
Since 6 a.m., along with two follow teams across from Roy Hamad's building, waiting for her to get on the move.
Attack team?
Two blocks off.
We sure it's just Roy in this cell? What about the other three in the news team?
Here she comes. Apart from a DWI and a minor drug charge, they check out. But until we know for sure, everyone's a terrorist.
And we're moving. Blacktown car.
Plate number L484K7.
You got eyes on her news van?
Rolling follow teams. The camera crew just pulled into a restaurant 2 miles north of Dam Neck. Van's clean so far.
As the target car pulls away, the van follows at the safe house.
Morning. How is everybody today?
Holding up, right, guys?
Guess what? I just got clearance for you to give Congressman Brody a call on the satellite phone. He could probably use a call now, and we figured you'd want to check in and let him know that you're all doing fine.
Okay, great.
Just family talk, though. Hi, how are you? That sort of thing. No mention of the CIA, please.
Joy hands the phone to Chris, who puts it to his ear. Getting ready, Brody turns from the mirror to answer.
Hello?
Hey, Dad. It's me, Chris.
He knows it's you, Dorgo.
What's going on?
Just eating breakfast. Uncle Mike made huevos rancheros.
Great. Say hi to him.
Dad says hi. So, are we getting out of here soon?
Sure, real soon.
This place is so cool.
Hey, listen, that's great. I'm just running out to work.
Can I have a quick word with your sister?
Sure. Bye, Dad.
Bye, Chris.
Brody slips his arm into his jacket sleeve while Dana offers the phone to Jessica.
Brody.
Hey.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, Jess. Where's Dana?
She's, still sleeping.
Well, give her a kiss for me.
Yeah.
Tell her I love her.
She knows.
What about you? You okay?
Brody, can you tell me anything about what's happening, what you're doing?
Only that I'm glad
you guys are safe, and it's all going to be over real soon.
And we'll get back to the way we were.
Jessica looks frustrated. A CNB news van's parked up near a restaurant as the black target vehicle pulls into the car park. From the surveillance van through a sight, Carrie spies Roya get out of the car, then it drives off.
She's entering the restaurant.
Glancing over her shoulder, Roya heads to a table where others are waiting.
She's at a window counter with her camera crew where she has a line of sight with the news van. Looks like she's ordering breakfast.
A phone to his ear, David gives the nod to Peter, who gets up from his desk. Saul's quick to react.
Where's he gone?
Liaison with the FBI in the field.
FBI liaison? An analyst?
He's wearing two hats today. Go.
Peter leaves.
All call signs stand by. Possible bogey. Wait out.
With the surveillance van parked over the road from the restaurant, Carrie watches a vehicle pull into the car park.
Blue SUV. Fits the description of the one Brody saw the Sandman get into yesterday. Unknown number of passengers.
Is Nazir in it?
I can't tell. The windows are tinted. I can't see inside. Now they're just sitting there waiting.
Who's really running this operation, David?
Excuse me?
You or Dardal? And Quinn? Who's he really? What are his orders?
He's here to kill terrorists, Saul. Just like all of us.
Stand by, there's movement.
Okay.
A man emerges from the SUV.
The first person out of the vehicle is Nazir's munitions guy. Stand by. And three I don't recognize. One more still in the van who I can't see. They're opening the back of the news van. Removing what looks like camera batteries. Now they're doing something at the rear of their vehicle, which I can't see.
While one man remains in the front seat of the van, another opens a metal hatch to reveal a row of large batteries. Roya watches.
They're switching the camera batteries.
The men place the weighty square objects into the back of the news van.
If that's the device, it's at least 200 pounds.
Tech 1, Tech 2, Tech 3, move now, over.
Pressing switches on the batteries, the munitions guy looks around, then closes the doors on the news van. As agents swoop, the munitions guy shoots. Roy is apprehended.
Bogey on the move. Intercept.
The SUVs rammed, then careers along on its side before coming to a grating halt.
Got him.
Yes!
Going in to confirm it's Nazir.
Carrie jumps out of Virgil's van while Saul remains impassive. As a limo pulls up outside Brody's place, David issues an order from the joyful surveillance room.
Stand by. Waiting for confirmation of Nazir.
Peter's Brody's black-tied chauffeur. Carrie strides purposefully across the car park. Opening the glove box, Peter takes out a gun fitted with a silencer. Brody's on his way. Carrie addresses FBI agents.
Show me his face.
Carrie looks dismayed when the man's rolled over.
It's not him. It's not Abu Nazir.
It's not him. Sandman is not here.
We do not have Sandman.
As Brody gets in, Peter shields the gun.
Stand down. You still need him. I say again, stand down.
What the hell are you doing here?
Watching your back. We got him, Brody. Your information was good.
Got him all?
All but Nazir. He's still out there. So, believe it or not, I'm your best friend in the world right now.
Brody glances pensively out of the window. Eyeing Brody in the rearview mirror, Peter activates the privacy screen.